Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, I think the thumbnail says it all, doesn't it, tonight? You are so back, Sam, from FPL Family. What a game week. You've had a very nice weekend with Spurs winning as well. There's people in the chat talking about Spurs for the title.
What?
People in the chat going on about... I come in here quite early. I thought I'd set it all up. And the chat's going on about, oh, it's a two-horse race. Arsenal versus Spurs for the title. I think they're trying to wind me up. But, you know, it's been a good weekend.
I'll tell you what.
Best one ever.
Lee, I'm so happy. Like, and I've tried to be really not, like, overtly annoying this weekend.
Do because... it. Absolutely should be.
No, because you've not had the best of game weeks. And Liverpool have lost. And... so I've tried not to be that person, because actually we had a really nice day, didn't we? We had an insight into our future, didn't we, on Saturday?
What do you mean?
Well, we were sat around, we watched Spurs win, very happy, Sam.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Our youngest was away on a brownie camp, and our oldest went, "Can I go to my mates?" And we were like,
"Sure,
all right, off you go."
Yeah.
And then a few hours later, I get a text from his mate's mum. Can we just keep Max for a little bit longer?
We didn't know what to do with ourselves, did we?
No, it was just us two, wasn't it?
No kids for a bit.
So weird.
Quiet.
So, yeah, we went out. We had a nice time together.
Trying to buy a new iPhone. Can't do that yet. God, dear.
Yeah, a bit hard
they're
to
like
get,
rocking
they?
Horse poo them, aren't they?
Yeah, we didn't hold hands, though. Maybe we should have held hands. Maybe we should have, you know, maybe we should have brought some romance
maybe.
Into our marriage.
I think I was like, I was quite...
You're a bit nervous, weren't you? Because
I was a bit nervous.
Before the Chelsea
game. A bit nervous, but I have to say, I was going into it. Chelsea fans, you can... Listen, I am...
I hope Kingdom FC is here.
Of course he is. Yeah, of course he is.
And so I bet he was here early.
So is Malachy. All the Chelsea fans. Which is fine. Listen, I'm... You know, I'm often very anti Chelsea on here. I think with good reason, but I won't be tonight. I won't be tonight because I'll be not anti Liverpool, but you know, I'll have some.
You can't be anti Liverpool.
No, and I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking at all. I mean, it's, you know, we got a lot of things to sort out. There's no question, and I think the international break's coming at a good time. But yeah, I think that's potentially why there was no romance, because I was a little bit nervous about that game. I did go into it thinking, if we don't get a result, that will be a bad week for us. Probably Slot's worst week as a Liverpool manager. Yeah. And there it is.
So we had a nice Saturday, Spurs. Liverpool did their best to ruin it. Then we had a little date night watching a film. That's very nice. And then today, Max's team's won.
Yes, go on the Tigers.
Go on the Tigers. Excellent. Excellent.
Got man of the match, didn't he?
He did get mad. In fact, it was a Bonfield kind of day because you ref the game. I ran the line. So the Bonfields were out in force today.
Nothing too contentious on the refing side, was there? I thought they did quite a good job. Not too whistle-happy.
I did like it when you were like, the lino said, when the boys were arguing. And I was like, yes, the lino did say.
The boys are just getting to that age now, aren't they? What, the under-12s? They're just getting to that age where they just will give you a little bit of... just give you a little bit of chat.
And you went, the lino said.
And
then bless one of Max's teammates booted the ball out and it smacked me, didn't it, in the leg. And he was like, I'm so sorry, Max's mum. I was like, it's okay. It's all fine. Anyway, and then FPL has gone well. So I've had the game week that I have needed for such a long time.
Right? Yeah.
It's been one of those game weeks where it's been really tough. This season has been really tough.
Oh,
and
God, yeah.
When you have to talk about it constantly in every part of your life... Like,
nice to have a good one every now and again.
Yeah, well, but because we talk about it a lot. Funnily enough, Max is obviously playing. He talks about it a lot. Obviously, my full time job with Scout is talking about it. Then I go on the pod and the show and all of this other stuff, and I have to talk about it all the time. So when it's been red arrow after red arrow after red arrow, it's been tough. But the last 2 weeks have been a blessing, and this one in particular felt.
Yeah, the
really
wild card
good.
Sorted a few issues out, hasn't it? No doubt about it.
Oh, for sure.
Joseph Maloney is in. Sammy says, was VAR used today at the Tigers game? When you've got the high quality standard of refereeing, Joseph, you don't need VAR.
I mean, you nearly didn't have a whistle.
I turned up without my whistle. Yes, that is
true.
You
weren't supposed to be reffing, to be fair.
No, I was drafted in last minute.
Yeah, because the other ref
wasn't
was
even,
injured.
Wasn't even mentally prepared for it and just like, went in.
That was the contentious bit. The ref that was supposed to be reffing... went home because he said he was injured. Outrageous. Which meant you got to be promoted up to ref from lino.
Yeah.
Which basically meant that I went from fourth official into the lino seat. Madness.
Picture the scene, guys. Me refereeing, you running the line. I just Yeah, it's everything you think it is. It's a shambles.
That wasn't a shambles. It's good. It's
very
good.
Max was like, why the hell are both my parents?
So bad. Webby's in. He says, send anyone off, Lee. No, they are under 12s, Webby. So it'd have to be quite bad. And even then...
Although one of them did boot the ball halfway down the other pitch. And I thought, if in the Premier League, you got booked for that.
Is that time wasting? Yeah.
You'd have got booked for that, booting the ball for left. That. And yeah. I did think, you know, it'd be quite funny if you did go and give him a yellow card. What I also liked is that one of the dads from the opposite team was giving you a bit of mouth. And our matchday delegate, who is normally me, but because I was running the line, I give it to my mate. She was like, do I get involved? Should I go over there and tell him off? It's quite fun.
I'm telling you now, guys, and those of you that have got kids, if you've got boys or girls that play Sunday League football, you will know, right? You know, I'm sitting here saying the boys are just getting old enough where they just give you a little bit. The boys are nothing.
The parents
right?
are the worst.
The parents are the worst. The parents are an absolute bloody nightmare. And I put myself in that bracket for, you know, not often. Absolutely not often, but every now and again, I can't help myself. It's a nightmare. Sunday League, absolute nightmare. So we've got Joseph in, as I said before. Catboy is here. Andrew is in. Hey, Andrew, nice to see you. He says, Lee not wearing the Liverpool shirt. You can tell Liverpool lost.
He's got Liverpool.
And the team have issues.
He's got Anfield on his chest.
This is a little...
it's Anfield.
This is Anfield, and it's got L40TH, which is the postcode there. So Liverpool shirt of sorts,
it's Andrew. It's got Tottenham Hotspur in the postcode.
But you're right. You know, no Liverpool replica shirt for me tonight. Nothing to do with how the team's performed. I just was wearing it. We played yesterday, didn't we? If Liverpool play on a Super Sunday, I'll often be wearing the shirt.
We played at lunchtime. Here I am.
Anyway, listen.
Oh, to be fair, I was not wearing this. Well, I was in a jumper. I walked in this room and was like, no chance I can sit here in my
it's
jumper.
It's going to get hot again.
I'm going to get my Xavi shirt.
Yeah, especially Spurs are in contention for the league apparently. Yeah, so you got to get your shirt on, haven't you? Dal, thank you for the super chat. Dal says, guys, I love the show. Hello, Dal. I don't think we've had a super chat from you before, mate. So thank you very much indeed. I scored 74 points. Very nice indeed. Had a rank rise of 190K to 177K. That is very good indeed. What are you doing with the mics?
I dropped it.
You know the cables on these mics are dodgy at the best of times.
I went to tighten it and move it up a bit because you just said to me before we came on, Sam,
you've got to talk into the mic. Yes.
I mean, not that I don't podcast for a living, but sure, I've got to talk into the mic. And then I thought, I've shuffled, so now it's not in the right place. But I got comfy, so then I thought, I'll lift the mic up a bit so you don't tell me off at the end of this stream.
Thank you. I'm sure it's sounding loud and clear for the podcast.
Sorry if I bashed it because it then landed on my lap.
No problem. I was listening back to last week's and you're like, you're sort of talking to it like this.
And then you just sort of lean away and it goes down here and you can't talk and then it comes back up here and it sounds really good again. So it's you just got to talk into the mic.
I'm not an idiot, Lee.
Last week you were, because it's what happened.
It's unbelievable, this absolute grief. Just because you've had a crappy game week and Liverpool have lost doesn't mean you need to have an...
I'm trying to do as good a job at a podcast as I can. And Dal says, is that any good? 177K. Dal, that is good.
That is excellent.
I've got Jokeres and going to stick with him for now. Yeah, we will talk about him. We'll talk about Arsenal assets a bit later on. As usual, guys, if you're new to the FPL Family live stream, welcome along. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. We'll do teams, we'll do bus teams, which is kind of how our teams are set for next week. We'll talk through some of the games and, of course, absolutely we will discuss Arsenal. We absolutely will discuss Arsenal because that is a big talking point for this week and going forward, no doubt about it. George is in. Hey, George, nice to see you.
Oh, we got back from Brentford in time.
Danny McDonald is here. Nice to see you, Danny. Danny, who was the September Manager of the Month for the Patreon community. So well done. Congratulations for Danny for winning the September competition. Very, very good. Indeed, very, very good indeed.
Well
so
done, Danny.
Danny wins a...
And Danny's been around for ages as well, so it's nice to see him win it.
Oh, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Lovely to see him win it. And he gets a shirt of his choice. And if you want to take on Danny and all the other folks in the Patreon over in our Manager of the Month competition, patreon.com/FPOFamily in the description below is where you're going to find that. So congratulations to Danny.
Congratulations, Danny.
Very good. All right. Let's get on with some of these games now. Oh, goodness me, I'm crashing.
See, you're dropping the mic. Could you be professional, please?
Yeah, sorry.
You stop making noise.
I'll try not to make so much noise. let's get on to some of these games, Sam. And I have to say, I'm a little bit croaky this evening. So if I have to stop for a little bit of water, I've got a peppermint tea over here. And I do tend to, you know what I'm like, I do rab it on these bloody live streams. So if you see me taking a drink and looking at you like this, That's. Can you talk, please? I'm about to lose my voice.
I mean, I've got a horrible cough as well.
Oh,
so have
you? Oh, God.
Between the pair of us.
Oh, what a disaster.
If I talk for
too
long, descend into absolute carnage. Oh. You've given me the blooming cough.
Have I? Well, Evie, give it to me.
Oh, good. Well, it's spreading around like wildfire. Max is the only one that seems to be able to survive at the moment. Between the pair of us at the end of Max's match today, you're coughing, I'm coughing. I was like, oh.
Well, I'm running around and I'm trying to, you know, red ball, no, blue ball, green ball, goal kick. I'm like shouting and I'm also, shouting at the lino. Yeah. So like, yeah, my voice is properly gone. Let's get on to some of these. Oh, no, wrong one. There we go.
Oh, we're back here again. We're really picking on the wrong buttons again.
Here we go. My voice is going already.
Oh, God. Here
what
we
are we
go.
In? 15 minutes in. Voice is going. Let's talk about some of these games, Sam. Let's go back to Friday because although my game week was crap, it started off pretty good because I had Mr. Antoine Semenya, who is looking like, well, I was going to say he's looking like one of the best players in FPL right now. He is. I mean, he's top point scorer in FPL right now. Mm. Absolutely sensational stuff. What did you make of this game while I take a sip of water and try and rest my voice?
It was one of those games where I thought that Fulham would struggle in front of goal because they were without both Muniz and Jimenez. And I thought, they might have a bit of an effort. And actually, I was thinking, but they can be really defensively solid when they want to be. So probably the attackers from Bournemouth will have a tough time of it. But the defence should do all right. So when Fulham scored, I was like, oh, Senesi. He's not going to get a clean sheet. That's a bit disappointing. But at least he's guaranteed, Lee. Guaranteed to get some DEFCON.
Yeah, but it's never going to happen every game, was it?
Why not? In my head. And then, of course, but what I will say is that Bournemouth were... I thought they were struggling, actually. It was the first game where I've watched them and thought they seemed a little bit out of ideas once Fulham scored. Credit to Iraola, though, because he takes off Senesi, and I can't remember who the other one was that went off with Senesi, but it was another big player. And we both said to each other, we were like, what's he doing taking Senesi off? Well, it changed the game, didn't it? The way the attackers came into it. Clivert, when he came on, brilliant. Semenya, just absolutely unreal. What
an unbelievable goal by Clivert, by the way. That's like low-key going under the radar, because we're all talking about Semenya. Yeah. Clivert's just come on and scored potentially goal of the season contenders. That's such a good strike.
Such a good goal. So, for me, it was a game of... I was going to say two halves, but not really two halves. It was like three quarters Fulham impressed me. But the last sort of quarter of the game, Bournemouth were excellent. They were really excellent.
Did you think the weather was a bit of a leveller?
But possibly. Yeah. I mean, the weather was diabolical in the UK over the weekend. And it affected some games definitely worse than others. The Northern games were definitely worse hit. But because the storm was in the UK on Friday into Saturday mostly, it really did affect the Bournemouth game. And it was awful. The weather down in Bournemouth was truly dreadful. So
it was the wind, wasn't it? I mean, the rain was bad, but you could see the ball just weren't moving correctly and stuff, was it?
So it did. I mean, that will have an impact, but it had an impact for both sides, right? So it's not giving one side an unfair advantage. It just brought... And I did think it brought the quality of the game down a little bit, particularly from Bournemouth's style of play, whereas Fulham are... usually quite good defensively and they're quite robust. But I was really, really impressed. And I think if you look at it now, realistically, people were talking about, you know, is it still worth getting Semenya? There were a few people on wildcard, you know, Lee, that didn't go there because they were like, well, he's taking so many price rises and I'm not seeing the value. To be honest, if he was 9 million, I still think there's great value in him because he's just so good right now.
Do you know what? Somebody said it on Twitter and it sort of struck a chord with me. It was the way he played on that left-hand side. It's the closest, like, I've seen... what this person on Twitter was saying, and I agree, the closer I've seen to like Mane, like the sort of runs he's making, the intelligence of the football. Mm. And what I liked about Semenya, and by the way, I agree with you, it's not too late. I think if you haven't got him, you need to go and get him. Yes, he's taken price rises. Guess what? He's going to take more.
Oh,
so
for sure.
If you don't get him, it's going to be even more expensive. There were some comments that he made himself in his post-match conference about the fact that he's taken time over the summer to work on not snatching at chances. He's taken time over the summer to work on how calm he should be.
Okay.
And I had a look at some of the underlying stats for his shot accuracy, and he's gone up from like 8% to like 28% or something this season. Mm. So what does that tell me? That tells you that, yes, he's still taking tons of shots, and we know that. We've seen that in previous seasons. He's a shotaholic, isn't he? That's why we love him in FPL.
Yeah, that's what makes him good.
But in previous seasons... yeah, a lot of missed chances and therefore not getting bonus when he scores and stuff like that. Well, this season, conversion rate's gone up 20%.
Mm.
So not only is he taking lots of shots, but he's clinical and he's scoring them and he's doing great.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is that when you look at the underlying data and what it suggests, it sometimes you go, okay, well, let's take him in comparison to last year, and it massively looks like he's overachieving at the moment in terms of his goal conversion rate. But actually, when you listen to that interview with him and you hear him talking about it,
it puts
that into context, because you could look at those stats and go, well, he's not going to be able to sustain that over the next 6, 7, 8 months, because this is, he's going to regress back to what we saw last season, which wasn't bad, by the way, but just is lower than what he is right now.
Well, he was a 7.5 asset, I think, last season, whereas this season he's an 8.59 asset.
Exactly. And I think because he's come out and said, no, I saw a weakness in my own game and I've been working on fixing it.
Brilliant.
And that is
Love
being
it.
Replicated in the numbers. And we had this conversation on Friday evening, didn't we? And I said, it's the thing with him now is he's a leader in that team. The others look to him in a leadership role.
Mm.
And that progression from being one of the kids in the team, not necessarily being a natural leader of the team, through to what he's doing now at Bournemouth with the younger players looking to him for, you know, the inspirational player amongst the team. I think he's phenomenal, and I think he's really worth whatever you have to spend on him.
Just do it. It was top for BPS across the game week, according to the Fantasy Football Scout members area, which, as you guys know, we will use every single Sunday here. Shout out to the team at Fantasy Football Scout. If you're not a member over there yet, links in the description below.
Yeah. Did you see the bit that they added back in just for you, Lee?
Which bit was that?
If you go into where it says Game Week Highlights.
Game Week Highlights new?
Yeah, click on that.
Okay, nice. All right.
Go on to the members home.
Yes.
And then if you could scroll down.
Yes.
They added your tables back.
Very nice, yeah. Look. I still have to drop down and select which table. I'd like all the tables just down here.
No, Lee, because it goes on and on and on and on and on.
I like that.
No, nobody wants that. It doesn't look great. It's really nice like this, because then it's nice and clean and it's in a little box.
Okay.
But that box there is just for you.
Is it?
Lee from FPL Family.
Super duper.
Added that specially for you, because
you
asked.
There are literally no websites in the whole world that would listen to me if I asked for a feature. But at Fantasy Football Scout, ask and you shall receive.
It is what happens. If you ask Reece for something, he will make it happen. He is a legend.
And I was just about to say, Semenyo top across the whole game week for underlying BPS with 63, head and shoulders above the next best, which was Bruno Guimarães with 52. So yeah, he's the boy, isn't he?
Can I ask you another question about him?
Go on then, quick. We've got to move on. We've spent 5 minutes talking about Semenyo, and it's clear you just get him in FPL.
If his game wasn't on Friday night, would you have captained him?
I never really considered captaining him this week. Always Haaland.
It was quite close for me, but the Friday night game tipped me. He was my vice.
Okay.
And if he'd have been 3 o'clock on Saturday, I think I might have gone there.
No, I can't hand on heart say I was close to captaining him this week. In fact, I think my vice was on Bruno, actually. So no, I was always going to be Haaland. Always Haaland.
He's in there though, and that was the point of raising that, is that I think from now on, you have to seriously look at Semenyo as part of that captaincy conversation.
Okay.
Which seems mad because he's priced, but he's worth it.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to FPL Family Memberships to Nick. Thank you, Nick, for becoming a member here at the channel. Welcome along. If you want to make any chat comments, you'll get them automatically highlighted now that you're a member, and we'll read them out. So very much welcome to the FPL Family, Nick. There's a few saying, you know, no panic on Senesi, and I agree with you, right?
God, no.
Obviously, didn't get the DEFCON. He got, I think, up to 7, and then he was hauled off. I think you're absolutely right. It was part of a tactical switch, wasn't it? He bought him off for Ben Doak at the time. And in my head, I was like, that's kind of an interest. Same as you. I raise an eyebrow, no doubt about it. And then 7 minutes later, they go from 1-0 down to 2-1 up, and you're like,
Fair enough.
Iriola knows what he's doing better than I do. Yeah, no shit. Right. So
he's pretty good, he's pretty good.
He's a pretty good manager,
isn't
he?
He's pretty good, yeah.
Oh my God. What good manager. So 3-1 in the end, 3-1. And yeah, it was the Semenyo show. What else is there to say? Is there anything else to say about this game other than if you've got Bournemouth assets, hold them. And if you haven't, then think about getting them.
That is the actual answer.
Right. Let's move on. Let's do our game then, because I want to get it out of the way. Chelsea 2, Liverpool 1.
You can go first with this one. Because
there's a few Chelsea fans in the chat.
Of course there are.
Kingdom FC's here. I know Malachi's here. I know Yelena has dropped in as well, just as we're doing the Chelsea chat. Hello, Yelena.
Is Harry here? Sometimes Harry's in as well.
Harry, no, he's not here yet. I suspect someone will text him or put something on Twitter and say, Lee's talking about Chelsea, Liverpool. Get in.
Feel like I should let you rant and then I'll give
there's no rant. I think so, no rant, because in the same way that the Crystal Palace game went, but so by the way, with Palace I thought we were completely outplayed, right? Now with Chelsea we weren't outplayed, But the game was there to be won for both sides. It was there, right? Particularly in the beginning. Oh, here we go. Oh, the coughs are kicking in here. Oh, the germs in this room in FPL fam. It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
So
water.
Yeah, so the game was there for both to be won. And there was a moment, I think, sort of a third of the way through the second half, maybe halfway through the second half, when everyone's centre-half decided to get injured. Like, Kanate's decided he needs to, he's got a problem, and then all the Chelsea centre-halves just decide they're all injured.
I mean, have Chelsea got any defenders left at this point?
Well, they were down to, like, their fifth or sixth centre-half, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like...
Go on, then.
When Gakpo gets back into the game, I'm like, right.
Push on.
Go for it. Mm. Right, push. Get this win, right? And I think in previous seasons, there is no doubt we'd have won that game. But... instead of doing Gakpo for someone like Chiesa or someone who can like push on and try and get us the win, he bought on Endo.
Mm.
And I was like, huh, is he like settling for a point here at Stamford Bridge? Now, that's, listen, a point out of that game in what was a pretty bonkers game where Chelsea had played really well and we were not at our best again. I think I probably would have taken it. But, I couldn't just help but think, bloody hell, they haven't got any defenders left. Let's just push for this win. We're back in this game, maybe undeservedly. But in the end, it was Chelsea that went for it. They went for it instead, and they threw caution to the wind, and they went for the win, and they got a win. So, listen, no rant, no complaints. It's just, it is what it is. It's on the back of a very, very difficult week. Now, at the beginning of that week, we were at Crystal Palace away, and they were 18 unbeaten at that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to go away to Galatasaray, which was like, one of the worst fixtures you can have in Europe.
For
horrible
sure.
fixture,
you don't
horrible
go there.
Travel, horrible crowd, horrible performance, lose 1-0. So then to come back and have to go to Stamford Bridge again, long travel, difficult away game. It's just like, I look at it in the cold light of day and I go, that is three really hard games in a week. Now, I would have liked to have got something out of them. Of course I would. And particularly the two Premier League games where we've lost in the 95th and the 97th minute. Had we got to the end of this week and it had been draw, defeat, draw, it wouldn't look half as bad, would it? Wouldn't look half as bad. But the manner of the defeat and the manner of the performance means that we didn't deserve to get anything out of it. Chelsea were fully deserving of the 2-1. I don't know what else to say. I mean, I can't. You know, in actual fact, this was probably one of the games over the last few weeks where I've thought Salah could have got something. Like, he got into some positions where in previous seasons it's on his left foot and he curls it in the top corner and you just think, oh, that's a Salah goal. You know, he's in his sort of signature cut inside on his left foot.
There's one in particular that I remember watching.
I know, which, yeah, and he just sort of balloons it over. There's another one that didn't balloon. It kind of just went over the bar, but you're like... Why is that? There was one, I think, literally like 10 seconds into the second half of where Wirtz does this like ridiculous pirouette back heel assist.
Mm.
And he puts it past the post and you're like, Mo! Like, on last season, he'd have had two or three goals there, I think. He's just not on it at the minute. He's just not clinical at all. I'm still a big fan of Wirtz. I still think they need to get him into the team and he made the difference when he came on in the second half. But listen, I don't know how you can pick any Liverpool players in FPL right now. I mean, if we were to look at the fixtures, let me just bring the ticker up. These are the Liverpool fixtures going forward. It's Manchester United at home next, which... we're in trouble if we don't win that. Put it that way. We're in trouble if we don't win that. Then we've got to go to Brentford, a rejuvenated Villa. Then it's Man City away and then Forest. It's mixed, to say the least, isn't it? Mixed. And, of course, Europe will be in amongst that as well. So... yeah, I don't know what to say other than I don't think you can pick Liverpool in FPL right now. What do you think?
Well, I've got Isak.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Lee. You know, he got an assist. Great.
He's looking sharper every game.
Every game he looks fitter and healthier and more match fit. And there were moments in this one where I thought he was going to get more than just an assist. And then I watched Arsenal and Gyökeres and thought, okay, because that's the other option. And I look at it and go, I think I'm just going to hold. I think with Isak, I'm just going to hold because we're starting to see enough, I think, that makes me want to keep him.
It's a nice assist, right? Whether he means to bring it down for himself or to bring it down for Gakpo.
It doesn't really matter.
I don't know. I can't decide either way. What was interesting is how Gary Neville on Sky was just automatically went for the narrative of, you know, he didn't mean it. And he's just trying to bring it down for himself. It's like, well, why have you got, I mean, I know why you've got to go for that narrative rather than it's a nice, you know, if that was Sesko, for example, it'd be, oh, what an amazing touch. You might not have meant it, but God, the skill to bring that down.
Yeah.
But instead, he's just decided to choose the negative narrative.
Yeah.
Of course he has. He's Gary Neville commentating on a Liverpool game, but we get that every week. He commentates on all our games that are on TV. But my point is, the if the narrative around that assist even was different, we'd all be going, okay, well, he looks sharper. Really nice assist for Gakpo. That's the narrative I'd like to spin as a Liverpool fan. Mm-hmm. If I can bring a positive out of that game is, yeah, he's looking better. I think Slot's already said we'll see the best out of him. You've got 2 weeks now, right? Mm-hmm. You've got 2 weeks to train, and I don't know if he's going away with Sweden. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. And then we'll come back, and he's got the Manchester United game to... he probably will start, and I think he's shown enough to suggest that he's going to keep starting going forward. So I think you're all right to keep, and you shouldn't be thinking about selling. No, I agree with you.
No, I think I'm going to hold. It's not like if your career had absolutely gone off in the Arsenal game, then I think there would have been a conversation to be had around how loyal I stay with Isak. But because he didn't, I'm kind of like, well, maybe I'll just give Isak another few weeks because my team is set up quite nicely and I do like the fixture for you going into game week 8. So I probably will hold. But I think if I had a Salah or a Virgil or a Wirtz or a Gakpo, I would sell.
Mm. I still don't know what's going on at fullback. Bloody hell. I mean, the fact that Connor gets the booking in first half. And then when Slot decides to change it around or bring Connor off because he might get, you know, he's at risk of the red, doesn't bring Frimpong on.
No.
He puts Szoboszlai back there. I don't think he's impressed with Frimpong at all.
No.
At all. And I think Kirke's on the other side is having a difficult one, as I said before.
We should probably talk about Chelsea. And in particular...
We should, yeah, sorry. Absolutely.
in particular, João Pedro.
Yeah.
Because over the last... few weeks now, 4 weeks, there's been a massive decline in João Pedro's numbers. In fact, I put you a little slide together. Can you show it?
Is it João Pedro or João Pedro comparison?
Just João Pedro, please.
This one.
Here you go.
Go on then.
So these are João Pedro's numbers over the last 4 matches. So this is what we've seen from him. You've got the fixtures that he's got coming up. So you can see that you've got very little in the way of attacking.
0.18 XG for those listening to the podcast over the last 4.
Yeah.
2 goal attempts and 0 shots on target.
Yeah.
Yeah, not
and it's taking him, like, what did I say, 164 minutes or something?
165 minutes per attempt.
Per attempt on goal.
Like a game and a half before he even has an attempt.
Every game and a half he has an attempt on goal. Now, if you go to the next one, which is the comparison one, if you look at the comparison.
Yeah, okay, go on.
This will take, so this is game week 1-3 versus game weeks 4-7. Now, you might have to do it for the podcasters because I can't see it and I didn't save it to my phone. But there is a significant decrease. So the XG is massively, massively down.
Yeah, so for the podcasters, the XG is 1.35 between game weeks 1 and 3. And then, as we said before, 0.18, right, for 4-7. So hugely down. And then points, FPL points per start gone from 8.6 down to 3.25. And goal attempts, 8 in the first 3. And then just 2, as we said before, between 4 and 7. So, yeah, a big, big drop-off. No
doubt. A massive drop-off. And so I think at this point, earlier on in the season, there were very few forwards that you were really interested in. Obviously, there was Erling Haaland. And everyone either had him or they didn't. And then around that, there weren't that many other options that were coming into the light as opportunities or people that you might want to look at. I think that's different now.
Mm.
I think what we're seeing over the last couple of weeks is that there are other forwards. Like, I mean, Mateta's done the biggest points dodging I've ever seen in the last 2 weeks. I God only knows how he's not scored. But he is an option for sure. You've got other players that have started to just show their hand a little bit.
Well, Voltomardi scored again. I know it's a penalty and Anthony Gordon's not on the pitch, but, you know, he's banging them in fairly regularly.
And I was impressed by him again. Like, he wasn't... I don't think Newcastle were that impressive moving forward today. But he's got nice movement. He's in the right places. He's important to the way that that team is working. And he's starting to settle for around the same price as João Pedro. So I think he's definitely in there as an option.
Bowen as well, the chat's saying.
There's Martin Jared Bowen. It's exactly the same price tag. Now, what, don't think anyone was really expecting much out of Jared Bowen this week, given that it was Arsenal, and we can talk about that game later.
Yeah.
But he is definitely showing himself as a potential option in FPL as well. So I think at this point, you have to kind of look at it. Now, part of the reason for doing the comparison of him lately is because you look at those fixtures that they've got coming up over the next 5 weeks, and there is absolutely no way that that you would think on paper, oh, I'll sell João Pedro.
Well, let's read them out again for the podcasters. So it's Forest away up next, Sunderland at home, then a trip to Spurs, Wolves at home, Burnley away in the next five. That, I mean, the those, fixtures are there, aren't they?
Well, but the point is that the fixtures are there, but the form really, really isn't.
Mm.
So how far do we balance the form versus the fixtures? Now, Nottingham Forest up next, honestly, if Ange is still there after the international break, and I genuinely actually think that's an if Ange is still there after the international break, they are defensively in the mud. They've lost more of their defenders. They've got so many injuries. That's a problem. And so Chelsea should be able to get goals in that one. But will it be João Pedro? Because he is not involved. Even when Chelsea are attacking, he's not involved. And that's a problem. Sunderland, we know that they can be defensively solid, but they should score goals in that one. I can't remember the last time we beat Chelsea. Like, they come to us. Do you remember a couple of years ago? They came to us. They injured half our team.
Yeah.
The rest of them got sent off. It's always a nightmare game. That is grey on the fixture ticker, but really it's probably not. So look at the fixtures for him and you'd think you'd hold.
I don't
but
think he's getting been... Has he been picked for Brazil? I'm sure he didn't.
They asked for him not to go because apparently he's not 100% fit.
And isn't he going to be suspended in the Champions League between 8 and 9 as well? So, you know, he's going to get plenty of Premier League time, isn't he? Well, if we weren't sure already, right? So,
but it's really hard to keep the faith with him.
It is, but the fixtures are there. Like you say, there are alternatives. And one of the key stats tables on the Fantasy Football Scout members area that I like to look at is the XG underachievers. I like to look at the table of players that should have got points but didn't. And he's not showing up there either.
Been there for weeks.
And actually, top for XG underachievers this week, a name that we haven't mentioned, but you could absolutely put him in the mix there, is Thiago from Brentford, right?
0.76.
So he, you know, we talk about Walter Marder, we're talking about Bowen, I think rightly so in the chat. Šeško was up there, second overall for underlying BPS amongst forwards this week. Only Haaland had better. Thiago there with a delta of 0.67, so top across the whole game week for XG underachievers. So, yeah, it's not like we ain't got options.
No.
It's not like we ain't got options.
And that's the thing, is that, you know, a few weeks ago, we didn't have options. I think you'd have held because
of
the fixtures. But now, I think there's a conversation to be had.
All right. Anything else to say about Chelsea?
If you've got a defender, sell. Because they've got nobody now. I think if you've got Sanchez, I would sell.
Well, there was a couple of their centre-halves were bought off just for precautions, weren't they? I think.
Would you
anything,
hold
but...
Sanchez though? Given that given you can have Nick Pope for the same price, would you hold?
I don't know if I'd spend a transfer on it, but Kukure, you'd hold, wouldn't you? Another assist here today, or yesterday?
I guess so.
Yeah.
They don't inspire.
Gusto
you.
Playing as an actual proper midfielder as well.
I know, but I'm not inspired by the Chelsea defence at all.
Okay, all right. What was the word you used? No rage, no nothing from me. No rants.
No, that was quite calm from you, actually. I thought they
fully deserved it, Chelsea, in the same way that Palace deserved it last week. So no rants, but, you know, we've got to get our act together.
You got rants out yesterday, didn't you?
I think the international break is going to come at a good time for Arne Slot. It's coming at a good time. Usually, I don't like to see an international break, but I think we're going to need the couple of weeks just to get our heads together and figure it out, you know, because the players are too good not to, no doubt about it. Arsenal 2 West Ham 0 then, so points and goals all over the place in this game, all over the place. We've got to talk about the penalty incident, right? Because Timber goes down, wins the penalty, and I do want to talk about him again in a minute. Oh my god, he's getting forward all the time, wasn't he? The Saka and Jokeres penalty thing. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because going into pre-season, they signed this new guy. He scored 20 out of 20 last season at his old club.
Mm.
He takes the penalty against Leeds in game week 2 and scores it. I know Saka's not on the pitch, but he scores the penalty game week 2 and you're like, okay, this guy's the new penalty taker.
And we thought he was going to take the one that was not given last week because Saka had the ball and we assumed they were doing the Saka to Jokeres.
All of that. So all the narrative was there for Jokeres to be on pens. And a lot of people, me included, brought him in on wildcard, either this week or last. With that in mind, right? That's absolutely in my mind, is that I think Jokeres is the penalty taker.
Yeah.
Now, Saka steps up for this one, scores it. This also happened to be his 200th Premier League appearance.
Yeah.
It also happened to be his 100th goal involvement for Arsenal. So, I don't know. Do you think there's just like a... Because of those kind of milestones that he's reached in his career, he just fancied taking the penalty that day and was just like, I'll take this one.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't. The point of all of that ramble is, I'm not any clearer on who's a penalty taker at Arsenal.
I think we've known for a while at Arsenal that the penalty taker is whoever wants to take it on the day. Like, if, and it still feels like that might be the case. Like, Arteta,
and Arteta
has,
said that. He said, I'll let them sort it out between themselves.
He doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He just wants it to be the person who feels it in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think Saka pulls weight. So I think if Saka says, I want this one,
he pulls rank.
He pulls it, yeah. And then I think if he doesn't, then yeah. then it'll drop down. And I think most of the time, last season, he didn't fancy them because he'd give them to Odegaard, or he'd give them to this one, or he'd give them to that one. So I don't actually think he necessarily wants to take all the penalties. But I must admit, when we were out at this point on our little afternoon out without the kids, weren't we? And we were walking out of a shop. And I said, oh, I'll just check what's going on in those two. Because there were only two games going on at this point, weren't there? I just checked what's going on. And I was like, oh, Arsenal scored. And you were like, oh. And I went, opened it up. And I was like, oh, it's Saka. And you were like, oh, for God's sake. And then I went, oh, it was a penalty. And you were like, oh, my God. And then when I looked on social media later, the amount of people that were unhappy about the Saka penalty. And I get it, because I think, as a Saka owner, I was really relieved, actually, to see a penalty taken at Arsenal and it still be taken by Saka. Because in my head, Gyökeres was going to be the pen taker. So the narrative you've just spun maybe is correct about the milestone stuff. And then when it was a Timber assist, I was like, well, that is a thing of absolute beauty. Because,
well, talk about him then, because a lot of FPL managers would have gone for Gabriel over on Wildcard last couple of weeks. And listen, he's done very well. Defensive contributions again this week. I think I read a stat just as I was coming on. I'm going to get this wrong, but somebody in the chat can tell me otherwise. I think he's got more defensive contributions. So, you know, the clearances, blocks, interceptions, tackles. He's got more of them already than he had in like the whole of last season or something.
Oh, really?
Like, it's like some mad stat somewhere that he's like, you know, he is a bit of a secret DEFCON beast. You know what I mean? When we're all doing, when DEFCON first got announced in the summer, we're all like, oh yeah, Tarko. Oh yeah, Van Dijk. Oh yeah, Senesi maybe. No one's saying Gabriel because of his style of play, stylistically, not going to be a DEFCON monster, but here he is picking up the DEFCONs again. So yes, Gabriel, of course, still a good pick, of course. But Julian Timber for a little bit less, and only a little bit less, because he's shooting up in price.
Yeah.
When I watch the highlights, oh my God, just like getting forward all the time in like ridiculously advanced positions. Obviously wins the penalty, but this is the second game in a row where he had what I would consider it to be a big chance. Good save by the goalkeeper. It's only a matter of time before he gets on the score sheet, I think. If you were to pick one right now, Gabriel or Timber, just straight pick, assuming they were the same price, who would you go for?
I'd still pick Timber.
You'd still go Timber. I think same price, it would be very close, but because you're saving a little bit, I think I'd go Timber as well.
Timber is my, he's the Arsenal player that I like owning the most in FPL, because he always has this potential for a haul. Gabriel, I kind of feel like you're comfy with 6 points, same with Saliba. And Gabriel will have upside. Like, I didn't,
he's still he's a great pick, Gabriel. Of course he is.
And he will have upside, because I didn't think he'd get DEFCON in this game, because it was West Ham. I didn't expect him to be that attacking. I thought he'd probably struggle a bit for the DEFCON. But no, he gets it. And he will have attacking threat. He will get goals from set pieces over the course of this season. And with Saka on the pitch, he's more likely to get them, because Saka often looks for Gabriel from set pieces. So I think we will see attacking returns for Gabriel over the course of the season. But all that being said, over the last few weeks, we have seen, if you look at the attacking underlying numbers, Calafuri and Timber wipe the floor, underlying stats-wise, not just with the rest of the defence, but with most of the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Because of the chances that they are creating, because of the crosses that they are supplying, because of the attacking threat that they offer. And with Timber in particular,
you know, Calafuri's got more XGI than Gyökeres this season.
Yeah. It's mad, I think I said that on the pod last week.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And I think, you know,
it's probably
where you got it from. And when you look at Timber, not only is he doing all of this creative stuff, he's also getting goal threat himself. And it won't be long until there are multiple goals from him. And you know, over the next few weeks, as we've been talking about for a long time now, the fixtures for Arsenal look great. So we'll see regular double digits, I think, from Timber. That doesn't mean I don't think Gabriel is a good pick. In fact, I might end up with both of them. But if put a gun to my head and said pick one, I'd still pick Timber.
All right, so we're erring on the side of Timber right now. What about the Saka versus Eze conversation then? So I'm on neither of those right now. That might change going into next week. You're on Saka, obviously a happy Saka owner this week.
Yeah.
Notice that the poor old Odegaard's done what looks like reasonably bad knee injury. I don't know if it's like another ligament thing for his knee. The poor guy just can't get a run, can he?
Makes Eze pretty locked though, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does. And I think not only does it make him pretty locked, but I think it makes him pretty locked centrally as well. Because if you stick him out on the left, they could put Zubimendi in there. You know, Rice can play there. In actual fact, you know, one of the things they highlighted on Match of the Day, and I think I said it on maybe Sky last Saturday when we were there, or last Friday. You know, Arteta and Arsenal have done a really great job of just building up a squad, right? Yeah. Building up a squad. And I think the injuries that he had last season, Arteta, it cost him the league. I mean, arguably, it cost him the league. So he's gone out there and he's built much more depth in his squad, knowing that he's got some injury-prone players. And they are injury-prone. I don't think you can deny that, right? The Odegaard and the Sakas in particular, right? But when Odegaard goes off, so he played Rice in a slightly deeper role, didn't he? And he had then Eze and Odegaard playing as the sort of two tens, if you like, the two eights. Well, okay, well, Odegaard gets injured. That's super bad news. But hey, just bring Zubimendi in, sit him at CDM and push Rice up. And then it's Rice that gets the goal.
Yeah.
So Rice is so versatile from that perspective. He can play six or eight. He can play wherever you want. But Eze is the consistent one there. He's the one that he sort of also always wants in the middle. So I think Eze is a great pick now with Odegaard out.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm only doubled up on Arsenal. Mm. And I'm looking at, and I still don't feel like I'm any clearer, because there's a large part of me that wants to just get Gabriel and have the double defence, because the clean sheets just look like they'll constantly come in week after week after week. So the ceiling might be slightly lower potentially than for somebody like Eze in the middle or Gyökeres up top. But the consistency of returns, I don't feel like I'm getting many blanks out of Gabriel in the coming weeks. But with Eze, I kind of feel like you've got almost the best of both worlds, because if he's going to play in that 10 in a central position with Saka, with Gyökeres, with the attacking threat you've got from Timber and California Fury and Rice, who we also see, you know, the attacking threat from.
Yeah.
It does feel like you're getting the best of him. So the debate for me is still rages as to, do you go double defence or double attack? And it's really difficult to know what the right thing is. I'm very happy to have Saka. I'm seeing enough from Saka over the last couple of weeks to go, yeah, I'm happy to have you. The question for me is, do I go Gabriel at the back? Do I go Eze alongside in the middle? I don't really have a midfielder slot either, by the way, which is the slight issue. Or,
do you know what? I honestly think you're sitting pretty with Saka, because there's going to be so many people that have got double defence and Gyökeres.
Mm.
So getting to Saka's not easy. Like, it's a hit maybe to get to get to Saka. And then there'll be people that go, oh, well, I could have Eze for a bit cheaper. I think, the penalty aside, right? And maybe it is Gyökeres on them. But he could turn out to be a pretty good differential for like in the medium term here, Saka, because so many people find it hard to get to him.
Timber and Saka had a massive impact on my rank this week.
Of course.
Because most people are trying to get to Gyökeres, or they've got Gabriel or Raya. So to have Timber and Saka, not only did they bring the points this week, but they're differential points. So it's tough, because I'm looking at it going, well, I would quite like the defensive double up, because you know what you're getting there. I would quite like Gyökeres, but then I'd have to sell Isak, and I'm not sure I want to do that yet. And then I look at my midfield five and go, I'm not really sure who I'd get rid of.
Well, the other thing with the Gyökeres and Isak is that with Gyökeres, you can say, okay, well, yeah, you Eze, Saka, Rice, whatever you want, right? And then you've got options at the back as well. There's so many Arsenal players we might want.
Mm.
Liverpool right now? Who can you hand on heart say you'd actually really want right now? Difficult, isn't it?
And that's why, and I do want to stay covering the teams that I appreciate that Liverpool have had, that, you know, that's a brave thing to say with Liverpool losing three games in a week. But that won't last. You will come back. You will be stronger after the international break. And I want to be invested in all the teams that are going to be competing for the league this year.
Okay.
Including Spurs.
West Ham better in this game?
Better, Lee.
Listen, you know, Nuno even said it post-match and he said, you know, he's going away to Arsenal. It's not a game where he's going to find out much about his team, right? It's just one of them games. You know, you don't really want to play that. If anything, he'd have preferred not to play this game, I suggest, and then get him back, you know, in a West Ham training pitch for two weeks and then go again. So what do you make of...
I don't know. I think he did learn some stuff about them. There was some character about them. They didn't get smashed.
Yeah, I could give you that.
Character on Monday night, character on Saturday afternoon. They're not getting smashed. They're listening. You can see a difference in the way that West Ham are playing. They aren't playing Potter style. They are actually listening to what Nuno is saying, and you're seeing a change.
All right.
I do think, given a lot of them aren't going away on international duty, we'll see a very different West Ham after the international break.
Yeah, and the fixtures after the international break are good, right? So there's Brentford up next at home, then Leeds away, Newcastle home, Burnley home, and then Bournemouth away. So a couple of tricky ones in there, no doubt, but definitely some fixtures there where if Nuno can get them singing and dancing, the likes of Bowen and even maybe Diouf, I can't believe I'll be talking about getting Diouf back. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Let's move it on then, Sam. Let's go from Arsenal. Let's go to Manchester United then. 2-0 to Man United. A very, very... I need to go back here, don't I, to my screen. Just got the job done here, to be honest with you, didn't they? And I don't know whether... Yeah. I tell you what, on the highlights that I saw... I can't remember who it was, but a Sunderland player misses a very big chance. It doesn't count towards any of the XG because it's a miss hit. But the ball came across and he's just swinging a miss, right? Whereas if he connects, it's 1-0 after 3 minutes and it's, you know, difficult, crowd get behind Man United, all the rest of it. But he didn't. And United played very, very well. Nicely taken goal from Mason Mount.
Yeah, very nice.
What a very nice goal. And then Sesko gets 2-2 now. So what are we saying, Manchester United?
I still don't trust him. For weeks now, I've been saying, I just don't know with Manchester United. I feel like I never really know what Manchester United are going to turn up. Which Manchester United are we going to see today? Are we going to see Manchester United that come, get the job done, finish their chances, take the 3 points and run? Are we going to see the Manchester United that we saw against Brentford? Are we going to see the one we saw against Burnley, where they nearly threw it away against them? Or they did get the 3 points, but they really did nearly throw it away against Burnley. It's really tough. And then I look at the Manchester United team, and I know you've got Bruno, and we'll talk about Bruno in a minute. But I look at that team and I honestly don't know where I put my money, because Bruno, for the second week in a row, finishes on 11 DEFCON. So just outside. That is unlucky.
He could have had one top corner as well. What a save from Roofs, by the way. I mean, that's one of the saves of the season.
He's you know, he is an option, but at 9 million, would you spend 9 million on him rather than spending 7 odd on Ezra? Would you spend 9 million on him rather than just finding a little bit more and buying Saka? Like, I think that he's a difficult price to own, Bruno Fernandes. Sesko maybe starting to be in a conversation, but as we've just said with Del Pedro, there's other options in the forward line, and I would want to see this consistency last with Sesko before I would go there again. Or invest in him anyway. I just don't know how I feel about Manchester United.
I think it's fair. There's a few Man United fans in the chat saying, listen, it's one game. You know, once we get two or three performances in a row and we get some consistency, maybe. So with Liverpool next, I don't think you're investing, although...
What are you going to do about Bruno?
No better time to play us. I'll keep him for the Liverpool game.
I did make you a little graphic. Do you want to try it? Little Bruno graphic?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, this one.
Okay, go on then. Yeah, go on. Talk through that one.
Well... that's just showing his numbers. Now, this is across the...
I assume that's his...
All season so far. Numbers.
Okay, yeah, so 3.7 XG for the season so far.
Which is okay.
Well, there's a couple of pens in there, isn't there?
But
so
there are a couple of
you
pens
take the pens
there.
Out, it ain't that great, is it? I'd like to see the non-penalty XG. For DEFCON, for a guy that we thought would get DEFCONs every single game, and nearly has. He's the nearly man, isn't he? So he often gets 11. So 22.3 minutes per point. Liverpool way up next. Listen, that's not a red fixture right now, the way that we're defending. The way that you can get at our midfield at ease is worryingly easy.
It does mean that he's averaging roughly just over 4 points a game, which isn't...
So not good enough for 9 mil, is what you're saying.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, very different if he scores the two pens, as I said before, right? So,
because I think the reason I made Bruno Fernandes and João Pedro graphics is I think that they are our biggest problems in our teams right now.
Mm.
They might not feel like massive issues, and maybe that's because our wildcards have actually been quite successful, but they do feel like these sort of, because they're expensive and they're taking up a space in the midfield, particularly with Bruno in midfield anyway, it's hard. He's a hard own.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, especially when he misses a pen. It's very difficult to take, but I've got other things in my team, other issues that I need. He's not.
You don't feel like he's your biggest problem?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. That's interesting. So yes, well played, Manchester United. Let's move it on. What else to discuss? Let's talk about your team then.
Yay!
Leeds 1, Spurs 2. If United's was a very professional job, so was this from Spurs. Talk about guts. Talk about character. Talk about going away to Leeds in the rain.
Rabona's gone wrong and all sorts in this
one. It's just a game you don't want, isn't it? You know, Leeds away in the rain. No thanks very much. But
at lunchtime after the Champions League as well. And we've been to the Arctic Circle this
week. Absolutely. Game after Europe. Or, you know, everything. All the narrative around this is just like against Spurs, isn't it?
But, and seven of the 8 games ahead of an international break lost.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But this is a different Spurs, right? You've got a new manager now. You haven't got that Muppet who's at Forest. You've now got a half-decent manager.
I like him
so much. What are we saying about this? I mean, kudos again. You know,
he's the magician,
couple of weeks we've been sitting here going, well, his performances are there. He might not got the FPL points, but he's XG underachieving and he's getting big chances. Well, this was the game where he comes to the fore. Goal and an assist. I thought he was electric, to be honest with you. I thought he looked great.
Third game that I've watched him. I watched him in person last weekend against Wolves, player of the match for us. Unbelievable. I watched him again against Leeds in this one, player of the match. I watched him come off the bench and change the game in terms of speed and pace and all of that against Bodo Glimt in midweek. He is, and I know that we said at the beginning of the season that he has been known to do this at West Ham and then he disappears. But there's something slightly different about him and his personality. And I think in part it's the manager, because the manager he's so incredibly positive, and he finds these, like even in the press conference when they were saying to him, Spurs have lost 7 of the last 8 ahead of international breaks. And he said, I can't wait till tomorrow because I can't wait to stop talking about this.
Mm.
And I was like, yes, perfect answer. Like, and then we go and it's a difficult game and the weather's atrocious and we don't start great. And Leeds are dominating, actually. But they're not really doing anything. They're not finishing it. But they are dominating the possession. They're playing quite well. But Kudus is everywhere.
Mm.
And he had been a player that I was kind of pondering on wildcard, whether I should keep or should I move to Xavi. And in the end, I thought, I'm going to stick with Kudus because all of the stuff that I'm watching is coming down his side. And then over the last couple of weeks, I've been like, well, give him 3 weeks. He gets this week. Last week against Wolves, he gets this week against Leeds, and then he gets Aston Villa after the international break. And then maybe I'll move on. But I'm not struggled to move on after this performance.
You're not selling him now.
Because now we're finding that, and I appreciate it, maybe it's a bit of a lucky goal, takes a deflection, but maybe that's what he needed to get that first goal off of his back. I noticed that immediately Madders tweets about it or Instagrammed about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's something in that mentality shift that happens when you score. We should have probably, Romero owners, you're really unlucky you've not got a goal out of him, because that, I don't know, I can't remember if it was Tell or if it was Xavi. One of them tried a Rabona, didn't they? And it just failed massively.
Yes,
Romero, if he just plays a small, short, sensible pass, Romero's in and it's 3. But yeah, very good performance from Spurs. Very happy. And, you know, all right, nothing from Van de Ven, and it's Porro that gets the assist. But those Kudus points were...
Okay.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of pace in the front three as well. Like, if there's one thing defenders hate, it's pace, isn't it? And like the Leeds defenders, they're a great defence. We saw it in the Championship last season, but they're not super quick. And I'm not, you know, forgive me, but I'm not Erdebert's biggest fan. I'm not Tells yet, although I think he's got a lot of potential. Kudus obviously was very good. But the three of them are quick. They're quick at the end of the day. And it's like...
And Xavi was really good in the 10.
I thought it was his best game.
Yeah,
I thought it was his best game. Easily his best game. No doubt about it for Xavi Simmons. I think Thomas Frank said similar, right? But what did you make of? Because there was a few FPL managers getting Richarlison in ahead of this game. Obviously, Tell gets the start. You'd said, I think, in the week previous that he looked a bit tired. He looks like he needed a break. Well, Thomas Frank obviously agreed with you. Do you think he comes straight back in, or do you think it's now Tell and obviously Cullen Mwani's going to be back after the international break? You've got Solanke as well at some stage going to come back.
No, I think
difficult hold now, Richarlison, or
no? I think he's still all right. I mean, and I did say, I've been saying for a while, Tell's not in the Champions League squad. Expect him to start the games after the Champions League, and no surprise, the two games after the Champions League, Tell gets the start because Richarlison's knackered. He's knackered. Bear in mind, he was injured. He's come back from his injury and he's had to play pretty much 90 minutes every week because Kona Moani's then had this dead leg that's been going on for forever.
Yeah.
And Solanke keeps trying to come back and in the end they've done surgery. So I think Solanke, the international break's come at a good time for him because I think he's already about 10 days into his recovery. That's another 2 weeks of recovery. So hopefully within another couple of weeks, he'll be back. I'm not a doctor, but maybe by game week 10, we might see something from Solanke, hopefully.
You were last season. Remember, we had Dr. Sam for a few weeks,
didn't
we?
Remember when I got that right, didn't I, as well? In fact, I got it right again this season. I remember in the Slack, George asked me for the doctor. Oh, it was Haaland. George asked if Dr. Sam could give her predictions, and I was all right on that one as well. I think probably around game week 10-ish, maybe, hopefully.
Do you remember that? They'll be, get in the chat now if you remember Dr. Sam. Yeah, look, there you go. Dr. Bonfield, Kingdom FC, those of you that have been with us for a while, you'll remember Dr. Bonfield from last season.
I did do some... Who was it that I was predicting their health? I can't even remember now.
Dr. Sam is back.
But Cole Mwani will be back and it'll be interesting to see whether he gives him a start. I think with Richarlison, it will depend on minutes over international break, I guess, and what we see. Obviously, Cole Mwani, I think he's going away with France. I presume he's going away with France, even though he's got added problems.
Oh, the guys are saying it was Isak's groin.
Oh, it was.
I remember.
It was Isak's groin. So
Isak's groin. Dr. Sam knows all about Isak's groin. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I took a keen interest in that, if I remember.
You took a very keen interest in Isak's groin. You did.
Won't get clipped at all.
It will.
So let's see. But I think if you've got Richarlison, you're okay for a few more weeks. I think we will just see some rotation after Champions League with him.
Good. All right. Much to say about Leeds, other than your man Stack seems to be off of a lot of the set pieces and free kicks now, and your man Longstaff now
on it,
right?
It's annoying that ahead of my bench boost next week, I note.
Yes.
That Stack has disappeared off of the set pieces, which is why I wanted him for.
Yeah. And Longstaff doing a pretty good job as well.
He was actually very good. I thought he was very good, very threatening. And actually, if I had my time again on wildcard, I definitely would have gone Roden over Goodmanson. Roden had another...
One off the post, didn't he, Roden?
Yeah. He had another good opportunity in this one. Right. I think he would have taken great pleasure in it, given he used to be Spurs as well.
Indeed.
But yeah, he probably was a bit unlucky not to have got 2-2, to be honest.
All right. Rapidly running out of time, Sam. What else can we discuss? So we talk about Palace losing their unbeaten streak at the Hill Dickinson. So this is a game that we haven't
didn't
watched.
Watch this.
Not
we
on TV,
because
the Newcastle game was on.
It was on TV. I chose to watch Newcastle. They all were.
You chose to watch Newcastle.
I was scouting Newcastle.
Fair shout, yeah. Everton 2, Palace 1. Much could we say about this then? Or we need to watch Match of the Day, really.
From what I saw, because when the Newcastle game finished, they went to Goodison and they were talking about it. From what I saw, Everton just really came into their own towards the back end of the game and Palace tired. And that might be a thing. And you've been talking about that, as the Palace haven't been used to playing midweek matches. They're not used to playing in Europe.
Totally, yeah.
And they started earlier because they had the Community Shield against you lot as well. So it's been a busy time for Crystal Palace to start the season. And it did seem like Everton came into the game and Grealish, again, is the guy that makes the change. But note, if you are a Grealish owner, he can't play next week because he's cut parent club at Tide because Manchester City up next.
And then Dye popping up with the pens. He was popular on wildcard a couple of weeks back, no doubt about it. So well done if you got the pen from him. Your mate Mateta does feature in the XG underachievers
points
for this week.
Galore.
What is he, 7th or 8th, I think, on that list there with a delta of 0.49. So again, if you're a Mateta owner, he's doing the right things. He's doing the right things. So probably stick with him, I'd suggest. The game you did watch then, Newcastle versus Nottingham Forest. I'll hand to you here because I was on... I was going to get our daughter from Brownie Camp, wasn't I? So I missed a lot of this game. I did, however, though, bring in a Newcastle player this week.
Yeah, dropped this on me.
I was considering. I had 2 free transfers, and I just thought
burning a hole in your pocket a little.
I did it like an hour before deadline as well. I was talking in the Slack about how I might do Xavi Simons to Anthony Gordon.
I remember that, but because I came up the stairs and I just said, hold, Xavi, I think he'll have a good game tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And he did. And he did. And yeah, neither of them got any points. But what was interesting about this game was that, you know, Voltomade does score the penalty. I guess that if Anthony Gordon was still on the pitch, he takes that penalty. So if you're an Anthony Gordon owner, that's a little bit unlucky. But nevertheless, a good performance from Newcastle. Forest, I thought, from what I heard on the radio, okay in the first half. But listen, just haven't got the legs because Ange is doing what Ange does and just runs them into the ground.
Yeah, okay. Let's
start. Or have I read that wrong?
No, let's start with Forest then. They're defensively terrible because that's what Ange's teams are
Murillo
like.
No Murillo there to sort them out now either,
and then without their best player. Sells had made some decent saves, to be fair, in the first half.
That's a fact. The bit I saw towards the end, he pulled off some worldy saves, Sells.
Yes. Well, Sells is a good goalkeeper, right? But you can't have him in FPL because Nottingham Forest are terrible.
No.
And going forward, they were lacking. And I mean, Chris Wood, I thought, was pretty ineffective. Igor Jesus, when he came on, he is marginally better, but I think that's because he's more of an Ange style of player. Like, he is a bit more active and he's a bit more involved. And But they just looked terrible. Newcastle going forward were okay. I did think that Anthony Gordon looked a bit leggy, but he is coming back from a big suspension and, you know, he's still probably trying to get his season started, whereas the others have, you know, had three more matches than he has. I thought Anthony Elanga had a fairly decent game as well. Both of them, they were okay. Walter Mard is the one, for sure. He's the one that's impressing
that's good,
me
isn't he,
at the moment. Defensively, they look rock solid. They didn't really ever look like they were going to concede a goal. Nick Pope was good. He made four saves, to be fair. So they did have some opportunity.
This is a pretty locked-in clean, though, wasn't it? Forest,
And I was watching it as a Nick Pope owner. And sometimes you watch a game as a goalkeeper owner and you're worried about it. And I never really felt that worried that the Pope clean sheet was going to go. In fact, I was more thinking, might he get a bonus point? And he nearly did. I think if he made one more save, he probably would. But the saves weren't like worldy saves. Like, Sales made some really good saves.
This is not the game where you go, must jump on Newcastle defence. They are a good defence, right? So I'm not saying don't get them. But my opinion hasn't... I don't think they're any better because they kept the clean sheet against Forest.
No, but I was kind of watching it within... So I was watching this for two reasons. One, I've got Pope and I was kind of pondering on would they be a worse defence without Livramento?
Yeah.
The answer was no, they were still good. It was against Forest though. And the second reason I was watching it is because I don't have a Newcastle attacker and I was trying to work out the Gordon Elanga / Watamada dilemmas. I think I'm erring on the side of Watamada at the minute, which is probably because I've got João Pedro niggling in the back of my head.
You've talked very positively about a lot of João Pedro alternatives on this stream. I've got the feeling he's a transfer out on your mind.
I really nearly did it last week.
Okay.
But you didn't have Alisson and various other things, and I thought, no, I'll give one more week. But how many weeks do I keep going? I'll give him one more week.
Yeah, I got it. Well, Forrest, as the chat is saying, a team to target. That is a fact.
True.
No doubt about it. Final game then. Let's
Chelsea
do Brentford. Yes, exactly. That's who João Pedro pays, isn't it?
Which is why I'm pondering.
Brentford 0, Manchester City 1. The way that poor old Sepp van der Berg got bossed for that goal. I mean, the strength of Haaland.
Did you hear Haaland's interview at the end of the game about this?
No, what does he say?
It was so interesting. So he said, I was a bit tired before this one. Didn't really fancy it. He basically... He's like, I felt tired going into it. Didn't really fancy it. He said, but that set... He said, but my opponent was in my face. And he said, and it annoyed me. So I thought I'd play. And then he was up for it.
Don't wind him up. Don't wind him up.
And it was so interesting because it was like, you've wound up Haaland. So he's gone, sod you, goal. And then he's gone...
Took it so well.
Okay, well, we'll just sit on it. And actually... Sorry, George. They should have been 3-0 down by the end of the first half, Brentford. Man City were a bit wasteful. Ryan has had one. He probably should have scored. Haaland should have had another one. There was plenty of opportunities. The second half, Brentford were a lot better.
They did improve.
They came out in the second half and they nullified. I mean, Man City, I think, sat on it for a bit. I don't think they were that bothered by the end because they knew they were going to win the game. But Brentford, I mean, there was an attempt from Thiago, which was... He should have scored it. It's one-on-one with the keeper.
That's why he's top of the XG underachievers with 0.67, right?
He should have scored it. He ends up hitting it against Donnarumma.
Can I ask you a question about with the City assets, though? Now, Rodri has gone off with what looks like a hamstring injury. Yeah. So his love affair with injuries continues. Does that now make Reinders a bad pick?
Well, Reinders is the one midfielder slot that I'm looking at now going...
Okay.
But the problem with Reinders is at 5.6... I mean, he was attacked... Even when... Like, first start, we shouldn't panic because even when Rodri goes off... Reinders is still attacking.
Is that true? Okay. Again, I didn't watch this game because I'd had enough of football by this stage. So you watched this game.
Yeah. So Reinders is still attacking. So Rodri's gone off and then Reinders should have scored after he's gone off.
Okay.
So I don't think it didn't mean that Reinders suddenly became uber defensive.
Not in this game.
In this one.
We have seen that before.
Okay. But in this one, we didn't really see that. They were still attacking. There was a lot less attacking in the second half because Brentford were a lot better. I don't know if I'm panicking about it. If I could go from Reinders to Ezza, I would.
Would you?
But I don't have the money for that.
A couple of million to do that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, either way, yeah, City looking very, very good indeed. And Donnarumma, another clean sheet. So, yeah, seems to have settled in there.
Yeah.
Just nice.
And Gvardiol with the assist as well. So if you've got Gvardiol on wildcard and there's goal and an assist, that's very nice. An assist and a clean sheet, that's very nice.
Yeah, fair dues. Yeah, very good indeed.
He got bonuses as well, didn't he?
Top bonus for Gvardiol, yeah, with 41. Let's see whether he was top amongst all defenders. Well, actually, no. During Timber, top for bonus, BPS, underlying BPS across the whole game in defenders with 43. But then, yeah, there's your Gvardiol with 41. So... there we go, Sam. That is the games, or those are the games. Let's do my score really quickly because I want to get it over with.
It's not that badly.
Did I get 60 this week? That seems a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Did I get 60? Okay, maybe it's not
terrible.
It's not catastrophic.
It wasn't a terrible red.
No, it feels like a bad week. I don't know if it's not.
You had Semenyo.
It's not terrible, but it's just very bad. So for those listening on the podcast, I had Raya in goal with 6, Semenyo with 18 in my midfield, and then Haaland captain with 16 in the forward line. That's it. I've got nothing else to talk about. I've got Senesi, Gehi and Van de Ven at the back, Fernandez, Gordon and Reinders in midfield, Pedro and Jokeres up front.
In fact, you're bang average. The average was 60.
Was it? Okay.
So it's not that bad.
Not as bad as I thought then. I mean, Semenyo's just keeping me afloat, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, but I think you get most people afloat.
I think if you look at the whole FPL game, then 60 being average against everybody is okay. It's a bit crap, but fine. But I think the average for engaged managers is going to be much higher than that. Much higher.
Mm.
I think that's you're comparing me with the casual masses there, and I've done like average. I think if you look at the engaged FPL community, those that are going to be in the top half a million come the end of the season, I think I'm way down. But overall, yeah, 406 points. I dropped from like 1.2 million to 1.8 million. Game week rank is 6.9. Just a bit crap, to be honest with you. He could have been different. I mean, if Gordon's on the pitch for that penalty, then he's a nice differential for me. If Fernandez, you know, if Royce doesn't pull off the best save he's ever made, if Jokeres takes the penalty over Saka because it's not Saka's 200th game, there's a lot of ifs and buts, isn't there? There's a lot of ifs and buts. But as it is, it's 60 and it's kind of bang average and a bit crap.
You've been overly negative on yourself.
Yeah, maybe. But 1.6 million in the bank, 2 free transfers. So going into the international break, I've got to think about what I want to spend those 2 transfers on. I do feel like I want to spend them. I'm struggling to see where, though. I hear you, the whole João Pedro thing, I'm with you. He's doing crap.
It's Forest.
You can't sell him when he's not going on international break and then playing Forest. You just can't sell him, I don't think. Bruno, I hear you. I understand the narrative, but it's Liverpool and we are conceding goals for fun and it's so easy to get through our midfield right now. And United, when they come to Anfield, it's always a game. It's always a game. So I disagree with what you said before about João Pedro and Bruno being our biggest problems. For me, not. Absolutely not my biggest problem.
So who do you think
problems.
Is your biggest problem?
Because I look at
your team and I don't think... Bruno, for me, would be your biggest issue.
He's
9 million.
I don't know.
And he's not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether I can maybe
put
that...
You could have Eze or Saka.
I absolutely could. Yeah, absolutely could. So one of the things I want to look at is an Arsenal defender, right? I've got Raya in goal, but I just... you know, what we said before about Jury and Timber, I think, you know, he just looks great, doesn't he? He just looks great. I know you've got him already.
I'd rather you didn't get him.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when you look at the week that you've had in a minute, I'm like, there's a lot of, there's a reason I want to get to your team. And he's one that I want to get to. So you won't like it, but maybe a Van de Ven to Timber might be on the cards here. Because if I'm going to do it, I can't do Goodmanson, right? Maybe it's Tarkowski that makes way. Maybe it's Van de Ven. I don't know. But I know it's Tarko got the DEFCON again, didn't he? I don't know. But it's
Jury and Timber.
Yeah, Spurs for Arsenal. Yeah, possible. Yeah, it's possible. I've thought about it.
I'm honestly disgusted. If I could have given you the death stare, then yeah. I would.
But then if you look, I've got Senesi and I've got Gehi playing each other again next week, which again I don't like. So does Goodmanson come in? He probably does. I've got him bench right now, but I'll probably play Goodmanson, Burnley at home, and drop one of them two. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I want to spend the two. I don't know where it is right now. What would you do with that team?
I'd get rid of Bruno.
You'd lose Bruno for who? Ezza.
The issue you've got is you've got your Jerez and Raya already.
Yeah.
So I think if it was my two free transfers, I would lose Raya for Pope.
You get Pope. Mm,
and
yeah,
I would
okay.
get Timber. You've taken it. You've got two. I might be inclined
I'm,
to roll
I'm more
it.
Likely to keep Raya, get Timber, and then later on down the line,
do
bin
two.
Jokeres for Sakura Eze, I think.
Yeah, it's an interesting... The thing for me with Raya is that there's no upside. He doesn't make many saves, and particularly in the fixtures that he has coming up, he won't make many saves. So he's not going to ever be in the bonus either, so it's six of two.
Yeah.
Whereas there are other goalkeepers... This is why I ended up with Pope, because Pope's going to get more... He will get more save points because of the way that Newcastle play.
Yeah. And he's a good pick, Pope. He's a good pick. But I'm not going mad on him because they got a clean sheet against Forest. Christ, I could get a clean sheet against Forest at the minute.
Well, no, for sure. But I think my point is that if you get Timber, you can't get an Arsenal midfielder as it speaks. And I still think Bruno Fernandes is your biggest issue.
Yeah, lots to think about. Lots to think about. Tom Meaney's in the chat. He says, no Liverpool, Lee. Absolutely not at the minute, Tom. No, absolutely not. So that's my week. Very, very average. Your week, on the other hand. Ooh, 86.
Yay.
Have a look at this. I was going to talk through it, but I will not do that. I will let you talk through it.
So Nicholas Pope, in goal with the 7-pointer. That was very nice. Thank you very much. And then Van de Ven and Sanetti with just two each, which was a little bit disappointing, but alas, we'll let
that's
them
where
off.
The disappointment ends, though. That's the lowest.
Well, and João Pedro, but, you know, we'll come back to if we forget him, he's annoying. Durian Timber with 11. Thank you. Saka with 8. Reinders, again, a bit disappointed with Reinders because in my rank, he was only 35% ownership. So in terms of EI,
would have made a difference.
Would have made a big... Yeah. So if he'd have scored that goal that he probably should have got, that makes a big...
Yeah, I think he was
like
42, 43 EO for me
makes
as well.
A difference.
Yeah, would have helped.
Kudus with the 12. Lovely.
Star
Thank
of the
you
show.
Very much.
Star
Semenyo
of the show.
With 18. If it had been Saturday, I do think I'd have captained him, which is annoying, but nonetheless... He was there and he did good things. Haaland with the captaincy and Isak with the assist. So obviously Semenya
nice.
With 18. Haaland
nice.
With 16. João Pedro 2. And then Isak with 5.
The Saka penalty is... That's a game changer for you this week, isn't it? Timber assist, Saka penalty.
It was going well anyway.
Beautiful.
Obviously on Friday
Beautiful.
Night with Semenyo and then Saturday lunchtime with Kudus.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going well. I feel like... And I messaged Jules and Kelly in our group chat when Kudus went off because Kelly and I have both got him and we both kept the faith. And Kelly replied and I was like, I feel like this might be a game-changing week for me. And then the Arsenal game kicked off and then that incident happened when Timber won the penalty and I was like, no, this is going to be game-changing
nice.
If Arsenal
nice.
Keep their clean sheet. So by the end of Saturday, I said to you, if Isak can do anything, this feels good. And when he did, I was like, right, okay, I feel like we're kicking on now. So this, for me, has been a really positive week. Spurs, fantastic. Great results. Some real fight back as well against Wolves last weekend and then against Bodo Glimt and now the win against Leeds.
Yeah, our character in Europe as well. Yeah, totally.
A lot of
fight,
totally. A lot of grit.
Love to see it.
A lot of happiness from my end. So we go into the international break feeling really positive both about Spurs and FPL for a change.
Do you know what I like most about this team is that you took a couple of...
Risks.
Calculated risks on the wild card, like you went Timber and not Gabriel, you went Pope not Raya, you went for Saka, you gone for Isak, you stuck with Kudus. this team is what a lot of people will be trying to get to now. We've just been talking through my team and I'm like, oh, I really want Timber, and which Arsenal midfielder am I going to get? And maybe I should get Kudus. And it's like, I've played my wild card as well, right? So I've got two free transfers. I've got some money in the bank and I'm trying to get to something that looks like this team, right? Whereas you're sitting here, international break, okay, a little bit less in the bank, but free transfers. You're up to 4.5 million now, up from, I don't even know what you were before. Like, you were like, what, 7 or something million before?
Eight.
You were like 8 million, and this week he's put you up to 4.5.
Oh no, from last week I was at 6.8 okay, at the end of last week.
Still batshit
crazy, so I'm up
crazy,
by 2.3 million. The week before I was up by 2 million, so in the last 2 weeks I've gone up by 4.3 million.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Which is mad, but it makes you feel better.
The wild card is an unmitigated success.
It's really good. And I was a bit, I remember going on the Q&A with Az the week I was wildcarding, and he was like, I like your team because you've been different. And I was like, I have to be different. I'm at 8.8 million or something, 8.5 million. You can't wildcard boring, because I've got to find a way to try and change the narrative of this season. And I do feel like those gambles, they were pretty safe gambles. It's Saka and Timber at the end of the day. It's not like I'm going, oh, I'm going to you know, whoever.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They weren't like, just off the top of your head. They were like, I'm going to pick an Arsenal defender, but I'm going to go with a slightly different one.
Yeah, and the one that the underlying numbers suggested, not the one that was popular. And the same with Saka. Like, Saka was coming back from injury. The underlying numbers aren't there, full stop. But
it's Saka.
It's Saka.
Yeah.
And you know that when he's good, he's really, really flipping good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my team. I'm very happy with it. There's not any major...
I would be, yeah. Absolutely.
And that's why I'm looking at Jao Pedro going, you're stinking up my team, Jao Pedro.
Yeah, but the rest of us are sitting there going, Jao Pedro's stinking up my team, Mark, and I can't do anything about it because I've got no transfers. Whereas you've got free transfers, money in the bank. The rest of your team looks all right. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, I've got to go for another Arsenal defender. I'm not even thinking about Jao Pedro because it's Forest. Whereas if you wanted to, you can proactively go sort that out. It's just a question of whether you want to, because it's Forest.
And that's the problem. And I think the reality of this situation is...
I think that's a role next week. Let's have a look at you for next
week.
Well,
I'm planning to bench boost next week.
Ooh, so, okay, nice.
So I haven't actually...
Like it.
This was always the intention. The intention was to wildcard in six, play through seven, bench boost in eight.
All right.
Because actually the team looks nice for this. Obviously I've got Burnley and Leeds playing each other, which, whatever. And maybe I've started to go a little bit cold on stack, so we need to look at that.
Right.
But Aldarate, I'm happy to have for Wolves at home, despite the fact that Wolves are showing a little bit of grit. But Sunderland are good at home, and they're resilient defensively, so I'm happy to have Aldarate for that one.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team looks nice. Like, I look at them, and obviously I'm backing Bournemouth against Crystal Palace, which... I was going to say the form for Palace suggests that maybe I'm doing the wrong thing.
Tough game to call that, I'd say. Tough game to call
that.
But I
do kind of feel like Senesi probably does get DEFCON again against Palace, because they're going to be attacking.
Yeah.
And Semenyo, I would not put it past him to get goals. I just think...
But are you just playing him,
because he's what he is. Obviously, Aston Villa are showing a little bit of grit and a little bit of resilience. But again, it's a home game for Spurs after a break. And it's coming at a time where... You know, we even saw Villa conceding against Burnley. They did their best to fry away right at the end today.
I feel like they might be turning a bit of a corner, though, Villa. Might not be as easy a game as that would have looked a fortnight ago.
I think that's fair. But I'm still happy to have both of my Spurs assets in there. So I'm looking at it. I've got three free transfers. I will wait and see what happens over the international break. I would be happy to play this team on bench boost as it is right now, which would then leave me coming out of a bench boost with four free transfers. And then at that point, I think you are
mad,
compelled to roll again, because if you've got four, you've got to get five.
You just have to be at five.
I've never got to five.
You have
In fact,
to.
I've never got to four. Like, I've never got higher than three, because season I was firefighting left, right and centre.
My homie's in the chat, Sam. He's saying, get Jaden Anthony in for stack. Do you like the sound of that? Jaden Anthony at home to Leeds? Although you have got Goodmanson as well.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that is an option, but... kind of feel like if Burnley score, he will be part of it for sure. I've got some money in the bank as well, so I could go up a little bit. It's not like I'm like tied to that really cheap spot.
I think you definitely roll this next week. Whether I'd bench boost it or not, I'd have to put some thought into it
I just kind of feel like my team.
But definite roll.
Like, this week feels like an all right week. If Burnley and Leeds played out a 0-0 draw,
that's happy days.
I'd be happy with that, because then I've got 6, 12, 19 plus whatever Aldarete gets, you're on 20. Mm. And that's brilliant for a bench boost.
Oh, if... FPL Bruno's in the chat. Right, get come on, guys. Help Sam out here, right? What would you do to this team to maximise the bench boost? Bearing in mind, she's considering selling Stack. We've got, what did we say in the bank?
0.7
in the bank. Three free transfers. How would you maximise this bench boost? I like this one from FPL Bruno in the chat. Stack to Paqueta. Home to Brentford. What a differential that could be under Nuno. First game at home. Is it his first game at home? I think it possibly is, isn't it?
Because they've been away, haven't they? I don't hate that
FPL
at all.
Bruno.
How much is Paqueta?
Well, I don't know. Let's get in there. Martin's in the chat. He says Caicedo for Stack. Like the sound of Caicedo, maybe? At Forest?
Well, that was another option. Enzo was also, you know. So I could go...
Nick Freeman saying Enzo for Stack.
So Anthony, yes. Caicedo, yes.
Paqueta, 5.9, Nikolai's saying.
See, I can't afford him.
Ah.
Because I got 5.7. Okay. So I can go Suchek, but I don't want to. There's nobody at Bob.
Oscar Bob.
He's got Everton.
Benji saying Rodgers. He ain't going to do that when he's playing Spurs.
Did he play Somerville this week?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He was quite good against, what's it?
Stack to Somerville, Keith Dickens is saying. A lot going for Caicedo. A lot saying you should probably get Caicedo. Look, listen, guys, there's lots of...
That is an option. That is definitely an option.
Don't mind it. Yeah, don't mind it. George is in, just goes Henderson. Mate, I love it. I'm all over that. Absolutely all over it. So there it is. You are looking in good shape, Sam, from FPL Family. Let's just remind ourselves. 86 this week. A sensational week. Easily your best game week of the season, I suggest. But it's not just that. It's the fact that the team is a team that people would want to get to. And you've got the free transfers and you've got the money in the bank to go and attack a bench boost potentially next week. And then game weeks 9 and 10 after that. So back on track, Sam from FPL Family.
Can't keep a good lady down.
Back on track. Sam from FPL Family. I love it. Absolutely love it. So, yeah, up to 4.5 million. It feels like you're moving in the right direction.
Getting closer to you now as well, which...
Well,
I think that's the other thing, because for me...
I've played my wild card and got two reds, and you've played yours and got two greens, so it's...
Well, to be fair, I haven't actually... And I mean this in the nicest way, because you were too far ahead of me to look at. So I haven't been chasing you down. In the inner circle league, I've been chasing down Kelly, and Ian's still in there.
Right.
That the inner circle league has got Jules, Kelly and I, and it's still got Ian from when Ian covered Kelly's maternity leave.
Oh, yes.
So I've been chasing them. And I've been like a long way back, and I'm too far away from Jules as well. So he's been an unreachable target as well over the last few weeks. But I'm 4 points behind Ian now. So I've taken, I took 30 points off him this week. Same with Kelly. I'm now, 16 behind her. I took 11 points off her this week. And I took 11 off Jules this week. So I'm 40 behind him. Those, when you're a million in ranks, it's those little things that help. So if I can get above Ian next week and then chase Kelly down, get above her the week after, I'll eventually be chasing you and Jules. But right now, those little things massively help. So if the overall rank's feeling a bit negative, pick someone in your mini league and chase them.
It's still a weird season though, isn't it? If you look at the, if we want to step back and look at the meta sort of, or the sort of macro view of FPL, there's still a lot of content creators that are sort of, you know, still talking about ranks with a million on the side of it rather than, you know, K. I'm finding it really hard. Like this season is, this is one of the hardest seasons I think we've had in years in FPL. No doubt about it. We've got a different game dynamic in
DEFCON
contributions. We've got the extra chips as well, which is making a massive difference. Whenever I think about, you know, people that are above me, I think, well, have they played the triple captain already? Have they got the bench boost already played? Maybe they have. So there's that kind of dynamic as well. Then you consider the fact that the league is super competitive, right? I mean, I'd probably not now based on the fact they just got beat. But when I last looked at the league, you know, Palace are up there and Sunderland are up there. You know, Villa, who had a brilliant pre-season, are like falling away. Liverpool hit and miss. We're having like 90 plus minute goals all over the place, right?
We've not yet settled into the... Clean sheets are here yet.
No.
Normally by about this stage, we've got more clean sheets. If we just keep getting less every week. I mean, we had four this week.
Yeah.
So less clean sheets around, more goals around. less consistency in the performances.
I mean, it's good, right? It's making for a good game. It's making for a good game. It's just for the likes of me and you that got to sit on here and go, oh, well, we're at 4.5 and 1.8. It's like I played my wild card 2 weeks ago and I played it when I was 1.15. Mm. So I'm like, great, play the wild card, get me up into the top million over the next couple of weeks, and then I push on from there. And all of a sudden, I'm nearly down at 2 million. And you're like, fuck, what's going on? So it's a hard season. I don't know whether you guys are finding the same. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I'm finding it tough this season. And I found this weekend in particular, after the week Liverpool had, very, very hard. You know, because I, you know, by the time I'd watched Liverpool, and then I was pleased to watch Max's team win this morning. But by the time we got in and you were like, right, let's sit the games on, I was like, I can't be honest.
You offered to go and get Evie from Brownie Camp because you were like, I could do with just having a moment away from football for a bit.
You know what? Like, I've got quite good, I think, over the last few seasons, knowing when to put the football down. Like FPL being crap this week, and then for me anyway, and then like the Liverpool thing as well. I was just like, it's not. Like, I just need a break. I've got to just not watch any football for a bit.
Yeah.
And knowing that I'm going to come and do this as well, I'm like, right, let's just not watch Newcastle. And then the City game come on and notice I didn't watch that either.
No, I watched it by myself.
And I'm like, I just like got on Fortnite, didn't I? I was just like, right, just not watch that either. So I don't know. I just like,
I think you'd felt differently though if Liverpool had won last
night.
Yeah,
probably. Yeah, probably.
I think it's Liverpool that does this to you. When Liverpool have a bad result.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But I think I'm getting better at recognising when I'm like, it puts me in a bad, I get in a bad mood. Like real bad mood after that Liverpool game last night. Yeah. Real bad mood. And then obviously I go and ref the game and he's won and it's great and Max has won and all the rest
and
of that. That's great.
Match,
he's got man of the match. I'm coming away buzzing from that. So like I'm emotionally up there. And then I come back, got back here and like Gordon goes off with a blank and I'm just like, oh, I just can't be asked. I just like can't be asked with this nonsense. So I don't know. I don't know why I've gone on a rant there like that, but I just feel like I know when to step away from it or not. And I do feel like sometimes it's hard, this game. Like, it's bloody hard. Like, I can't imagine going on, like, the official FPL pod over the last few weeks and being at, like, 7-8 million and having Laurens and others, like, sort of talking to you about that. I could not have dealt with that. So the fact you've had an amazing week and you're up at 4.5, I hope they give you the credit that deserves, because unbelievable week.
Jules won't give me
unbelievable.
Any credit.
Bloody should.
He bloody should. He'll just look at me for something else. But it honestly hasn't been easy. This season has been really hard to be at 8 million odd.
It's like, hard going on Sky, isn't it? And standing up there on the screen. And like we've had to say to Brittany a couple of times,
Mark,
can you not put the ranks on the screen? Because you can't go on national TV and be at like 8 million. It's
no,
a
you
joke.
Can't. And it's been really... And actually, there's been times where I've kind of gone... And even when I got to PLP last week to do the show, and I was like on... I was going into... what I was hoping was going to be a good week because I was on my wild card and Tom, the producer down there, was like, don't worry, I won't show your rank. And I was like, thanks. I was like, not that I'm... Don't... It just makes you look like a bit of a twat, doesn't it? To, like, have a rank of, like, a 7 million or something I was back then.
But everyone's but like...
It's a difficult season.
It's a difficult season. It's just that you and I have to do it a bit more publicly than
I do. And
do
you know what you have to do tomorrow, Lee?
I got to do off the bench tomorrow.
You are going
off
the bench tomorrow. You are going off the bench. But you are going on with Az, who is coming off the back of a wild card. And I think I've gone above him for the first time this season. I was yesterday.
Right.
Did it stick? I don't know.
Should we have a look? I've got a little... I've got a Content Creators League set up. Let's end on this, Sam. We've got
Because this is
a nice one to end on. Look,
I would really, 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 really love to go and do a Q&A. Because last week we hit the... No.
You're still 3 points behind, but the gap is significantly close.
Well, that is
significantly
close. What
did he
get this week?
He got 73. He did well.
But I've closed the gap by 13, so that's quite a big deal.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. 40.
What did he have? He had Pope, Saka. He had Saka. Semenyo, Gabriel.
Okay.
Yeah.
3 points,
I'll
take that.
He had a good week.
Because like last week, we had obviously the massive milestone on the Q&A where the Scout YouTube channel hit 100k.
Wow, we should give you a round of applause for that, Fantasy Football Scout team. 100k subs.
Az and I, obviously.
Oh, well done.
Obviously, I'm general manager over there now, and Az used to run the YouTube channel for us a few years ago before he went and did his job that he's currently doing. And I said to him before we went live, there would be something so lovely for it to be our stream. I wanted us to hit it on a stream.
So there was
that moment.
So did you get a little silver play button now? Did you get one of them little buttons?
Yeah, so I've done the application for a play button.
Yes.
But it'd be something so lovely for it to be on our stream. And when it happened, I genuinely was beside myself. Like, I came off the stream and I was like, I went in the living room and I was like, there's two little people in my house who I know will understand quite how big a deal that was. And oh, I walked in the living room.
Oh.
And Max was like,
the kids nowadays, you get a silver play button, that's it. You're like, you're
well,
done.
I was a bit tearful. Life goals. And I walked in the living room, Mum was, and Max went, are you all right, Mum? And I was like, I just hit 100k subs on YouTube. And he went, oh my God, are we going to have a play button? And I was like, yes, Max. And the pair of them just jumped around. And we went to the gym to do
there's
our normal
gym. There's so many achievements
class.
That you can talk to the kids about. And they're like, whatever.
Yeah.
What? Whatever.
But that,
and then it's like, 100k subs, play button. Whoa.
The best thing about it was we went to the gym, as we always do after the Q&A on a Thursday, to do our gym class. And they went straight up to Joe, who's our instructor, and went, Mum's just got 100k subs on YouTube. She's going to get a play button. And Joe was like, what?
That's brilliant.
Because he's a lot younger as well. And he was like, oh my God, that's massive. And I was like, let's be clear, it's not just me. But it was such a lovely feeling that I was really hoping that I'd be ahead of him this week so that we could go into that with a bit more positivity. But I'll take the 3 points.
3 points is all it is, Sam. Three points is all it is. Speaking of subscribe, if you enjoyed the stream tonight, that's a nice segue, isn't it? If you enjoyed the stream tonight and you're not yet subscribed to FPL Family, we would love to get to 100k subs at some stage.
Two play buttons.
Get two play buttons, who knows? Who knows? Leave us a like before you go if you enjoyed the stream. Well done in game week. Seven. We'll be back as usual here Sunday night, 9 p.m. to talk about game week 8. In a couple of weeks' time, I assume. We'll do a live stream next week. I guess not, with international break, right?
Probably
international
not.
Break, right? Yeah,
I
might have a couple of weeks off.
I'll be older when we come here.
Oh, yes, you will be a big... There is a big birthday in the Bonfield household coming up, and next time you'll see us on the live stream, you will have hit that particular milestone. Well done for being 21 again. Well done for being 21.
21 again, everyone.
But in the meantime, go over to patreon.com/FPL family because we'll be doing the Ohana podcast, which of course we put out for free for everybody. You just have to be a free member. You don't have to sign up to give us any money on Patreon. You just have to sign up to an account on Patreon and join us.
I've muted it.
Have you? Okay, good. Finished? Finished?
Yeah.
Can I carry on with the Patreon promotion now?
Sorry, I just died.
Excellent. So patreon.com/FPL family is where you can get the free Ohana podcast every single Thursday. And it's a good time to go and do that because when there's an international break on, the podcast that we will do this week coming up is an Ask Us Anything podcast. So we get into the Slack. We go and ask our Patreon community to give us questions ahead of Thursday. And you guys, you slackers, you know how this works. You don't even need to wait for us to ask, right?
I'll do it
get
now.
In there
I'll do
now.
It. I'll do it
get
right
in
now.
There right now in the Slack.
No,
and start
no,
putting questions.
Wait for my post because otherwise they go in the what? They put them everywhere and then I've got to try and find them.
Slackers, wait for Sam to
I'm doing
post.
It right now. I'm doing it right now.
Do as you're told. Wait for Sam to do what you're going to do. And then go and put your questions in the Slack for the Ask Us Anything and we'll do a podcast where, yeah, we might talk FPL, we might not. It can go in many different directions, often very funny directions. So get over to patreon.com/FPL family. Look out for that free Ask Us Anything podcast coming this Thursday. All right, Sam, that's it. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff, guys. Enjoy the international break and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Cheers.
Bye, everybody.